Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Okay, let's pray. Father, please help these people, because they're going to have to endure me for at least 30 minutes. Father, we just thank you for your peace and your grace and your mercy. And we just ask for you to just speak through me this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, what a wonderful time we're in, right? I was just thinking, I had some stuff on my heart. And I know we've been in John chapter 3. And now we're just getting to the good part in John chapter 3 where John the Baptist, right, the mikvah, in Hebrew it's called a mikvah, right? And John wasn't doing anything. He didn't say, oh, you know something? All of a sudden, I'm going to start dunking people and call it baptizing. The mikvah is something that the priests did before they entered into the temple, right? It's something that the women did. It's a place where there was living waters that would flow. And literally, they would go under the water, and as they go under the water, it represented that they were dying to their old self and coming back to life, right? So I always think about dunking booths, though, right? It's like we need to revolutionize baptizing, right? So I think we need to set. We got the baptismal, and then we can charge. We can have tickets. And we'll get someone on a platform up here, and we'll say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then whoever's mad at him and wants to dunk him can throw and hit it, and then it'll go down, and then we'll make sure that it goes down, right? Let's revolutionize things. Everything needs to come into... Anyway, I'm just kidding, right? So John the Baptist isn't new, right? Baptizing wasn't new when we see John the Baptist. And so I was reading through there, and I love John because, like, I just want to read something, and then I'm going to springboard off of it into the next phase. I want to read what John's saying. It's John 3, and I'm going to start in 22. And, like, John chapter 3 is so powerful anyway. Like, it's one of the best. For God so hated the world. For God was so mad at the world that he had to take it out on Jesus. For God what?
Love.
God so loved. You know what? As people, sometimes we don't do so good loving. So sometimes we get grumpy, right? I had a headache all morning, and so I had got up and I went and worked a horse, and then the horse jerked me around, and then I'm driving in, and of course it's not Priuses. If it's not a Prius, it's something else, right? And then you're getting grumpy all of a sudden, and it's like, God, why don't you just zap them all? Like if you would just pour your wrath out on all mankind right now and wipe all these cars out of my way and part it like the Red Sea, then I can just get to church and all these people quit giving me a headache, right? And the problem is, it's like all those cars I'm mad at, all those people that I get mad at, he loves them almost as much as me. Like, I'm his favorite, right? But he loves them enough that he gave his son, his only son. And if that says anything about the character of God, one of my mentors used to say, he said, unconditional love is unconditional forgiveness. When you can unconditionally forgive, that's maturity. That's resting in Christ, right? It's like I can forgive. Now, I can forgive a rattlesnake for biting me, but it doesn't mean I'm going to pick him up like a puppy dog and say, nice little rattlesnake, right? Like, maybe he had a headache. Maybe he had a bad day. You never know. Or maybe a rattlesnake's a rattlesnake and you shouldn't even be messing with him in the first place. Right? Either way, but God loves us so much. He loves us so much that he gave his one and only son for us. If you ever doubt that you're loved, all you have to do is look back at the cross and see Jesus. Jesus did it not just because God wasn't mad saying, I can't wait to wipe them out and I'm going to have to take all this out on one person. And so, Jesus, guess what? You're my son, my only son, so I'm going to take it all out on you because I'm so angry. It doesn't say that. The scripture never said God was so angry at the world that he gave his son. It said he so loved the world. Why? Because of a sin consciousness. There's no way we would accept it because of the sin consciousness that come from the fall of Adam. And I find it very curious that we accept the fall of Adam way more than we accept the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's almost like we cling to that more than we cling to the old rugged cross. Right? I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Not just to know about him. Just not to know that he used to live a long time ago. Right? He's a good dude and he died for me and someday I'm going to get to see him again. And it's like, I'm sorry. I know I pick on this all the time. But I was like, people out there are lost, think Christians are out of their mind or the biggest wimps in the world. I watched generation after generation just saying, I can't wait till Jesus comes back so I can get out of here. Like I said, I've watched it my entire life. I watched my grandpa and my dad and all these people. Is Jesus coming back? 100%. But do you know what he said? He said, occupy till I come, right? I want to live now. We're here. The Bible says, when the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where?
On earth
as it is where? In heaven. Guess how heaven comes to earth? Through you. You might be the only Jesus that anyone ever sees. I'm not going to be disappointed if Jesus shows up in the next 5 minutes. It's like, wait a second, can you go back, please? But at the same time, I don't want him to come back and say, what are you doing? You can know me now. I can live out. What? We're waiting for him to come back, and he is here. And he's living in and through you. We're one with him. So it's just the head uniting with the body, they'll just be able to see the head too when he does come back. So I want to encourage you guys. Whatever time you live in, this is the time you're created for. This is the time that you're born for. If you're a young person, this is the time you're created for. This is the time you're born for. Live. Go live. And live for him and let him live in and through you. I remember a time when I was a little kid, I thought, you know what? I'm never going to be able to get married, never going to be able to have kids. Now I'm married and have kids, and I can't get rid of the kids. Right? I'm not just kidding. I love my kids, right? But it's just the point. What if I had a focus on Christ in me right now? What if instead of focus on the Wapamo God that is not my father, I embraced him as my loving father and said, you know what? I'm gonna have a relationship with you. And I'm gonna have Christ in me, the hope of glory, because greater is he who's who's in heaven waiting to come back. That's in me than he that is where? In the world. Right? So that's pretty good news. Greater is he who's in me than he is in the world. So let me get to John. I'm talking too much, right? So here we're going. We're going to, for God so loved the world, and then he talks about the light, and he talks about when you don't accept Jesus, you're judging yourself. Because what you're saying is I can do it on my own. And God's saying, I already did it for you. Like, you get to make a choice. Are you going to do it in your own works and your own power? Or are you going to just rest in what I did? Religion is about do. Grace is about done. It's finished. We get to rest. We get to take a breath and go, I'm going to relax. I got up this morning, had to work a horse, and so I'm out there working the horse, and I'm teaching it to drive, and I get to a point where I'm like, okay, I think he's had enough, and he kind of looks at me like he's had enough. And I've learned to listen to horses. I was starting a bunch of colts one time, and they only gave me 10 days to get them riding, and then they'd ship them off to these camps to trail ride, and I was like, it was not enough time, right? So that was little Palomino mare, and she was scattery and skittish, and so I got her moving around. Got a saddle on her, and she bucked around. Then I moved her feet around a little bit, and she just stops. And she looks at me like, okay, buddy, you can get on now. And, of course, I'm like, get behind me, Satan. I ain't getting on that sucker. Like, what are you? I don't know. I just seen you bucking, like, 5 seconds ago, and you're saying I can get on you now? I ain't so sure I'm going to do it. So do you know what I did? I got on her. You know, she's the best ride I ever had. Didn't buck once. She's just like, you know what? Let's stop all this bull crap that you're doing to me to desensitize me. I get it. I got a movie to catch at 7. So why don't you just crawl up here? And I did. Right? And so I was working this horse, and he kind of looked at me like, I'm done. Like, I've learned. Sometimes you can listen. Sometimes if you'll stop and listen, you'll find the answer, right? So I got the horse. I unhooked him. Then I was like, I'm going to just mess with him another minute. So I just moved him around, got his feet moving, and got him relaxed. And then I let the halter off, and he walks over, and he's yawning. You know, just standing there, puts his head down, licking and chewing and just thinking and just completely let go. That's rest. When we let down all of what we want to do to survive in our own power and our own strength, say, you know something? I'm good. I don't know what's coming up. I don't know what's coming against me. I don't know what it looks like. I might not feel good. I may have a headache. I may have fallen Priuses to church. Some of you guys probably have a Prius. You are, I'm sorry, right? But I'm not drive faster, right? Those things go, right? But it's not about that. It's about His peace. His peace that passes what? Understanding. You don't have to understand here. You just got to trust Him here. Damn that horse. He don't understand everything I'm asking of him. He's like, okay, well just, I'll trust you. And then just let go. And you're not running from survival. That's what separates us from the animals. So we don't have to stay in fight and flight. We can step into God mode. In the image and likeness of God, I am a son of the Most High God. And I'm going to rest in Him. It's about being in Him. He's in us, and we're in Him. There's no separating. There's no getting closer to God. I tried for years. And I tried to outrun him. And do you know how hard it is to outrun someone who's everywhere? Try it someday. It really stinks, man. Really stinks. But are we going to trust in these times and in these seasons? So John says this, after this, Jesus and his disciples, I'm in John 3:22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Anon near Salim. Because there was plenty of water. That's good if you're baptizing, right? And people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison, obviously. Like, right? It's like some things you're like, duh, right? An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing, which is baptism or the mikveh, right? They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. So this dude's offended at Jesus. He's like, you know that dude? You come up and you baptize him, and after you baptize him, he floats above the water, and the voice of heaven that says, this is my son, my beloved son. Right? Guess what? And the Holy Spirit comes down on him, right? He's like, I'm offended because he's baptizing. He's like, what about you, John? This is your deal, John. You done got what do you call that thing for copyrighted. You got this copyrighted. This belongs to you. You need to go enforce it. This ain't right. How many of us get our own ideals? And we get our own little things. And we get so stuck in our own little things that when God's like, hey, I can do this over here too. Right? Because Elijah, he's like, I'm the only one left and no one else. They're all serving Baal. And God says, I got 10,000 more dudes, man. Like, are you going to trust me? And are you going to run your race? And are you going to keep your eye on what you need to keep your eye on? Which our eye should be on Jesus. And that's what John's getting ready to say, I hope. Otherwise, we're going to have to rename the whole denomination. To this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from where? From heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. You know what he's saying? These, he's groom. He's the King of Kings. He's the soon coming King. He's the one that you're going to follow. Right then, he wasn't the soon coming King. He is the King right there with him, and he's the King right here with us now, too. That's one of the things that, as a pastor that I've found is you don't want to get in between Jesus and the bride. That's why it's such, I take it so serious. Is because this is the bride of Christ. And he's a groom. And I ain't pointing you to nothing else or anyone else. But it's hard to be in a relationship with the groom when you're doing everything on your own. And you're ignoring him and you're not talking to him. Kind of hard, right? So he says this. He says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him, and it is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less. John said, it's not about me. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about what he's doing. Am I going to let him move? Am I going to let him work in my life? And am I going to let him live through me? It's kind of almost like Jesus talking earlier in here. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. What's he talking about? Then it gets, and it's like it's almost like they conspired. It's almost like they're talking the same thing. It's almost like they're reading the same Bible. It says this, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all." John got it. He's like, hey, this ain't about me. This ain't John the Baptist's ministry. This is God's ministry. This is the ministry that God sent to reconcile people so that they know that God loves them, that God's for him. And the language changes to a bride and a bridegroom. There's all kinds of lovey-dovey, kissy-smoochy, you know, go away out of my face kind of stuff, right? It's an intimacy. It's a love. It's a becoming one. Because when we're one in him, he's one in us. And as we're one in him and he's one in us, now when we walk, guess what we're doing? Hey, I'm Jesus. You know, but we call ourselves Christians. Do you know what you're saying when you say I'm a Christian? Hey, I'm Christ. I'm just like Christ. Actually, you may be the only Christ someone sees. So remember that when you're honking with your head out the window yelling at Priuses. Am I the only one that does that? As he is, so are we when we get to heaven. No? As he is, so are we. Where? Right here. As he is. The Bible says that we are seated with Christ. Where? In heavenly places, right? We're seated with him there, and he's seated in us here. And now we can walk and talk and move. And when we're talking, we are ambassadors of Christ. The Bible calls us a royal priesthood. You know what that means? He's made each and every one of us royalty and a priesthood, which used to go just to one dude or a few dudes. Now, every one of you are a king or a queen. And a priest, and a prophet. Words don't matter. Excuse me. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. What is my writing down? Alphabet. Now, if I want to make a word out of the alphabet, what do you call me doing? Say I want to say word. I get a W, an O, an R, and a D. What did I do to get that? I spelled it. Woo. We just got out of Halloween. There ain't another clue that our words hold power. When we spell something, we're giving life to it. We're creating something. That's Elohim in us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Think about it. Like, there's all kinds of little clues in everything. He's in all things. Your words have power, right? What you say matters. You don't believe me? Let me tell you I love you, or let me tell you you're a jerk and yell at you. One's going to what? It's going to uplift you. And the other one's going to what? It's going to tear you down. And then you're not going to know where to go, what to do. You're just going to be like, oh, Pastor James said I was a Texan. He called me even worse. He said, you're a Longhorn fan. I mean, I'm sorry if I ever have talked that bad to you. Right, see what it does to your heart when I even say that about someone else? I mean, it's devastating. But if I say, you know what, you're a Sooner fan, doesn't it just lift? Right? Okay, some of you guys, where's my Sooner fans in here? Like, am I alone? I guarantee you in Oklahoma, this would go over really well. Your words have power. What you say matters. And usually what we say comes out of our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? It speaks. Don't allow fear to creep into your heart, especially in the season that we're going into. It's election time. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of division, a lot of words that aren't very good. A lot of getting mad at people. Remember, Jesus died for all of them. But at the same time, vote. I believe this is a significant election. I believe you should vote. Right? I believe you have a stark choice between life and death. Jesus said, I give you the choice. He's like, I'm giving you a choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. And then God says, like, hey, I'm giving you this test. But I'm going to give you the answer. He's right. I said before you this day, life or death? What are you going to choose? Life. But no matter how an election turns out, you're not of this world. And God can take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
I can see everybody now. Right? Well, Pastor James, I don't know. There wasn't an election, but it was a while back, and there was this king. His name was Ahab. Anybody ever hear of Ahab?
Yeah.
And a queen named Jezebel, right? And there's this dude. His name's Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite, right? I don't know what a Tish is that he was biting, but it's right. He's the greatest prophet of all, right? God used him greatly, but you know what? They said, we're going to kill you. We're going to wipe you out. And it scared him. He's like, I'm the only one, God. I'm all alone. And God's like, I got 10,000 more people. And God said, God used him and changed the circumstances. See, the problem was they were in a group that was worshiping self. They were worshiping man. They were, basically is what they were doing. They were worshiping everything but God. And God used one man. And then one day, God says, I want you to go by this ravine. It's called the Kereth Ravine. And I want you to stay by the brook. And the ravens are going to feed you. Ravens. Okay? Ravens are scavengers. They don't feed no one. They don't feed nothing, right? And you know what they did? For a full year, they fed him. Well, see, that's not the first time we see a raven in the Bible. Go to Genesis. You go to the ark, right? God said the Bible says that he had to take his wrath out on man, but the thing is it says the Nephilim were still among you, and the rabbis talk about how man had mixed with the Nephilim, which were basically demonic, right? And Noah was the only one in his family who hadn't mixed with this stuff. And so the waters come, and it was like a baptism, right? But God said, I want you to take animals, two of each kind, right? Except for the kosher animals or the clean animals, and then you would take what? Take seven of them, right? So he took seven of them. So now the floods happened, and here they're like, okay, we got to find land. So do you know what he goes and grabs first? He goes and grabs a raven. Now, what did the raven do? Because, see, a raven is not a clean animal. So guess how many ravens there were? Two. There were two. So either he's like, you know what? I really don't need this raven anymore. And Noah didn't like ravens. Or he's like, you know what? I don't want to waste it on my clean animals. Right? So I'm going to send a raven out. Right? Or maybe God hated ravens so bad. God's like, why don't you send this guy out? He's no good anyway. He's not clean. If he just disappears from the face of the earth, what good is that going to do? What is it going to matter? But you know what Noah did? He sent him out. And you know where the raven went? All over. The Bible says that he's flying all over, waiting for dry land. Some of the Talmud actually suggests that maybe the raven flew right into the future and went to Elijah. And the ravens fed him there. See, what looked like something that was unclean, what looked like something that was unholy, God used that very same thing to feed his man and take care of his man. Not once. Not only that, a raven is a scavenger. If you can find a raven grabbing something, he's out. He's gone. You ain't getting it back. But he took it and fed Elijah. I like this in Matthew. It's talking about the birds. This sermon's going to the birds. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says this: "Therefore I tell you, worry very much about your life." That's not what it says. It says that's what it's there for. Maybe I need to adjust my glasses. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, but worry about what you're going to eat or drink. What you will eat or drink, or about your body. What you will wear. Is not life more important than food?" And the answer to this is no. They got this wrong. Right, if you're at chocolate pie, ain't nothing better than chocolate pie. So, now listen. "Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air." Oh, we're back to the birds. "They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much, not more valuable? Are you not much, not just more, are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field..." Well, I think it's kind of clothes are kind of important. Right? "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin." I'm saying, hey, they ain't got a job. Right, they ain't on the clock. Kind of on the clock. They only have so much time, right? It's like they ain't providing for themselves. I'm their provider. And look how much I've clothed them, right? And he says, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not a little more clothe you? Will he not what? Will he not what? I almost heard you, but will he not what? Oh, that sounds even better. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He said that to Peter one time. Peter's the same dude who got out of the boat when everybody else was in the boat. I'd have been offended if I was Peter. So do not worry, saying. You ever know worry talks? Worry talks. It's got a voice. You ain't going to make it. Well, what if this happens? Well, where are you going to get that? Well, how's this going to work out? That's saying. That's your mind screaming at you. That's why we don't lean on our understanding, but we trust him with our heart. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Although I say that all the time and Linda helps me dress. So it don't count when you're talking to your wife. Guys, take their advice. Promise. Some of you guys have not, I can tell. I'm looking at you. Ask your wife what to wear before you come to church. You're embarrassing us. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need him. What's he saying? The pagans believed in all these gods. We have one Father. And they're running, they're chasing, they're trying to get these things. They're trying to earn their own sustenance rather than saying, Father, thank you. Thank you for this provision. I did that. I was working at the horseshoeing school years ago as an assistant instructor, and we got paid like very little. And I was setting down for dinner, and I was like, you know what? We are going to make a plate. We had no food. So we're staying in this hotel, and it's expensive because everything was, and it's kind of a little suite thing or had a kitchenette. So I got the plates out and set them down, and I said, thank you, Father, for this food to eat. And I had about this much faith that I was going to eat that night. I had just enough gas in my truck to get back where I could do classes in the next day. And as soon as I said that, I said, Father, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. As soon as I say amen, there's a knock at our door. Boom, boom, boom. I was like, is that God? Wow. So you know what I did? I opened the door, right? And it was a kid that had just got out of the school and was getting ready to move. And he had gotten a bunch of groceries. He goes, I got all these groceries and I don't know what to do with them. And he said, God put you on my heart, so I want to give them to you. See, I couldn't chase anything. I didn't have nothing to chase with. I didn't have the power in my own strength. But I had a dad that loved me so much and knew when I was thankful. Do you know what I'm doing when I'm thanking him? I'm saying, thank you, it's done. And then I'm giving God the opportunity to work in my life. I'm not being like the world chases. You got to get this job, and you got to do this, and you got to get this degree, and you got to do this. Otherwise, you're not ever going to get blessed. But all the billionaires and stuff maybe graduated. Didn't even finish college. That's kind of. Not all of them, but a lot of them. God is greater than anything you're ever going to face. He's greater than any job. He's greater than any election. He's greater than any circumstance that you're going to face. And he says, when we're chasing, we're saying, I don't believe that you can do this, Father. Rather than resting, thank you that you have provided. And I'm not saying don't get up and go do something. But I'm saying do it out of faith and do it out of a calling. And watch what God does. It says in Deuteronomy, and these blessings will overtake you. You know what happens? When we're not chasing, those things are chasing us. I can't get away from His goodness. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. I'll take His goodness and mercy. I don't know who Shirley is, unless it's like Laverne and Shirley. We're going to do it. Am I the only one who knows that? Like, Pastor James, just shut up. I got lunch, and you don't need to sing. You're going to ruin it. What shall we eat? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first. But seek what?
First.
Seek first. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and that's all you're going to get. And all these things will be added unto you. What things? All the stuff. All the things. You know why? Because you will have the things, and the things won't have you. You will have the money, and the money won't have you. Money's a great servant, but it's a horrible master. Things are a great servant, but it's a horrible master. And we have no master but one. And so he says this, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. My question to you, who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust your own efforts, or are you going to trust in His kingdom and His righteousness? Because once you rest in His kingdom, in the Spirit, in the above, and in His righteousness, not trying to gain your own righteousness, guess what? All of a sudden, peace comes. Thanksgiving comes. Hope comes. Joy comes. Love comes. And then all this stuff's running you down like, oh man, that just ran me over. And now you have a peace that passes all understanding, and you're dangerous in a good way. Amen? So, Father, we just thank You. We give You the praise, and just praying for peace in this season, and we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.